a corporate economy, you have one boss and 20 sub-bosses and 50 sub-sub-bosses. And that arrangement is only possible if people don't know how to escape their placement. Now, you can lie and say, well, they're inferior and they couldn't escape their placement. But my experience teaching for 30 years is that isn't true, that Harlem kids are capable of exactly the same quality of intellectual production as upper-middle-class white kids. I don't say that as a romantic or as a humanitarian. I say that as somebody locked up with children who hated the potential boredom possibility of the thing and decided to do a first-class curriculum with the poor ghetto kids. Now, I got a lot more trouble at first doing that, but the minute, you know, they caught on that you actually meant what you said. I mean, the minute you got over the adjustment period, the quality of the work was exactly as, you know, as high as it was with the so-called gifted and talented kids. And these were street kids from the ghetto. I can't be the only one who's discovered that. But what would you do if 54 million kids graduated every 12 years in the United States, and every one of them had, as Napoleon advised, a field marshal's baton in his backpack? If everyone was looking for an independent livelihood, if everyone wasn't just willing to pick up a paycheck, but brought principles and moral standards and aesthetic preferences to the job and said, no, I won't do that. I mean, kids from first grade on are set against one another, so that it's no surprise when they're adults, after 12 years of backbiting, competing, being placed in class relationships to one another, that you can't build a community. It's no surprise at all. Mm-hmm. That isn't done intellectually by saying, now wouldn't it be a good idea if we all work together? I mean, they've had 12 years of never working together. These are truths so fundamental that it almost embarrasses me to say them, except for the fact that people have been trained not to think about these things. They strike the virgineer as some radical statement. I mean, for God's sake, what can you do for the entire society? I think the answer is nothing except your best. You struggle, you argue. You don't expect any substantial change. But what you can do for yourself and your loved ones and your neighbors even is a great deal. It's not easy. It remains a struggle, but it's just so much more prideful and correct a way to live. I mean, you don't live that way. You say, I prefer not to these other ways. And sometimes you submit because not submitting would exact a price that's way out of keeping with what you win from principle. Yeah, I mean, you act, I think you develop the mind of a saboteur. You look and move like everybody else. You don't draw attention to yourself, but from time to time, you find where the gears are meshing, and you put a nice handful of sand in them. The biggest handful of sand, though, will be with your three daughters. I mean, if they come to their majority with independent, critical minds, with a good attitude toward things, without an expectation of things coming easy, but in an enjoyment of the struggle of testing themselves, they'll have good lives. And in their having good lives, they'll be helping me and you and everyone else. You know, at some point, it'll happen after my lifetime, but at some point, you reach a critical mass of people who just won't accept the bullshit any longer, you know? And then things change. Now, what I just described is very, very hard for a nation, but it's not that hard for a neighborhood or a family or a community. I think that happens all the time, that we're in, if we could look down from Jupiter and see the communal life around the planet, we would see the communities making it. I don't know of any nation would see making it. And of the nations that I've seen in my life, I'm almost reluctant to say this because it sounds so perverse. But the damn French are closest to making it of any of the ones I've seen. I mean, they're absolutely impossible people. And if you're just thinking of your own comfort, as I did for decades, then they're not only hopeless, but you dislike them. But all of a sudden, if you see that quirkiness is a result of being real, I've taken on a great appreciation. I mean, the French are mean and spiteful and lots of other things. But you look at those farms and those farmhouses and those little farm towns in the south of France, for example, and you say, this unrelieved beauty and harmony, this couldn't have happened if people didn't have their heads screwed on the right way and understood what's really important.
I'm just wondering, why? Why them?
They were caught between the impossible Germans and the impossible Germanic Brits there. I think it was the proximity to to these. Both of them are absolutely murderous places. The Brits front the Germans as, the great beasts of the last 200 years. But if you travel around the world and talk to people and they begin to trust you, England is the great terrorist nation on this planet, has been for a long, long time. Mm. And they go into orderly societies that get along okay, and they break the societies up in order to profit from the little fragments. And they set the children against their parents. That's, of course, another function of institutional schooling. And it's meant to be. Divide and conquer is the rule. What you don't want are mothers and fathers who would die for their kids. You don't want that. You want the first authority to be management, and you want people to be addicted to stuffing their faces. And you want that because that makes them more manageable. Now you have an incentive that you control entirely, and you can give it or withhold it according to whether the behavior is compliant or not. What I've had a difficulty understanding, I like Canada quite a bit, but the quality of radio journalism, let's say, is quite high. Sometimes I'll drive across the plains in Canada at night and listen to the radio for hours, maybe. But I must say that as impressed as I am by that, in my encounters with the general public in Canada, they're certainly unswervingly nice and polite, but I really come away disturbed. There's a mindlessness. Now, and I don't have a way to understand this high quality, radio discussion and this mindlessness that bothers me.
So you find it more prevalent in Canada than in the
States? Oh, yes. There's a there's like a
passivity?
Yes. Okay. Thank you for that. Yeah. Yeah. And kind of a horror at standing out from the crowd or expressing a contrarian opinion.
We'll be right back. much. I might be upset. Let us agree to differ. We consume by competition. Give me a reason for living. Give me a reason for living. Call me up if I'm alone. I don't like to spend too much time on. So bad in the promised land.
It's not so bad in the promised land.
It's not so bad in the promised land. How do I fill my days? Force gold, hard cash moves my feet.
We are all in competition. It's the one thing that is simple. We are all in competition. It's not so bad.
There was a friend of mine who knew I was going to be speaking to you, and she had this one question she wanted me to ask you.
Sure.
And she said that her daughter, who's unschooled, she's now 12, does nothing but read on the couch all day long.
Okay.
And she had a problem with that because she felt that reflects
no,
the lack
no
of
problem with that. If the reading can be expanded into the areas of writing and speaking, I think the inevitable result down the line will be a good one. If it's just reading, though, if the girl's locked up and partly mute in the face of different people or, you know, different customs or different idioms there, then there's a real disability. But the way I would deal with that in the beginning is to actually talk with the kid and say, you're going to develop a huge repository of information and probably, you know, a wonderfully layered, complex mind. But now the product of that mind has to be heard. It's not uncommon to find the experience that someone who is merely developed in that area is roundly exploited by their coworkers, who can, you know, speak usually, but write also. But I would not be worried about a single-minded, as long as it gives way in time to some larger, I'll give you a radical example of that. Over the years, I would encounter a rather large, small fraction of the male population of schools who did nothing at all but read comic books. That is it. I guess they played computer games too, but comic books were an addiction, and they would read them through the school day and through the classes. And I would take them aside privately, and I'd talk to them, and I would say, I'm willing to cut you a deal where you don't have to do anything but read comic books. And almost all of them wanted to draw comic books. I said, but I will expect that you'll develop a professional proficiency in this. And right now, there's no evidence of that. Like, I would take a kid's comic drawing, and he'd be very proud of it. And it would pretty much look like the drawing in the original, but I would say, look at the original. And he said, I don't need to. I've drawn it. No, you haven't. Every one of your panels is exactly the same size. Look at the page you just drew. Every panel's a different size. I said, and every one of your panels contains all the heads and arms and feet of the personnel in the panel. And I said, look at the comic book. The hands will shoot out of one side of a panel and the head out of another one. I said, you're looking at that and you can't even see what you're looking at. I said, that is a drastic sickness. And it's been conditioned into you, you know, by standardization. The comic books aren't standardized, but you're standardized. I said, now, you can cut school and I'll give you a pass to do it. Go to the public library, but don't go with any friends. Take a stack of graphic art manuals off the shelf. A stack. Don't take one book down. Take eight or nine down and open them and start to learn what you're doing. I said, and if you reach the stage where you understand the structure of the comic book, I said, the next thing to do is to begin to